Hi, and thanks for joining me today on this episode of Thrive, Not Just Survive, How to Live from Within. Well, I am so glad that you have joined me today. Thank you for joining me on Thrive, Not Just Survive, How to Live from Within. This is what this show is all about. We don't want to just survive. We want to thrive in this grace life that we're in. We want to thrive in this incarnation, in this body, in our spirit, in our soul, okay? All three. And so that's what this show is about. We want to look at that and what does it mean to live from within, from our spirit, from the core of our essence of who we are. Man, I'm excited about that. And this is a new show. This is only the second episode that we've had. And I look forward to many more episodes in the days ahead as we look at what it means to live from your inner person. I've put up a saying there by Alvin Toffler, and it says this: the illiterate of the 21st century will not be those who cannot read and write, but those who cannot learn, unlearn, and relearn. I think this statement is really important because the ones who are unable to learn, unlearn, and relearn are going to be the ones that get left behind. And I think the same is true for spirituality today. The same is true for growing as a spiritual person. Spirituality requires a willingness to unlearn and then relearn that which you had learned, but you have to unlearn it first from a new and different perspective. I think that this was seen most specifically in the life of Jesus and his ministry. This statement by Alvin Toffler is probably best illustrated from the ministry of Jesus. Think about what Jesus did when he came to earth. He came with a message not of obey the old covenant. He came with a message not of you can obey the old covenant. He did not come with that message. He didn't come with a message of, you know what, you guys are doing the right thing, keep going. He didn't come with a message of saying, hey, everything you need is in that book. Just keep reading that book and you'll get everything you need. That wasn't the message. Jesus came and said, listen, the one that you're looking for, that you've been looking for, I'm him. And what I'm telling you is that you're not going to find the life you're looking for in the law, because the demands of the law are simply too great. You can't meet up to it. So you're going to need something that is greater than the law. You're going to need something that can overcome the law. And that is in a person, and that person is me. And so God is including everyone in me, including you, and I am going to show you what it looks like to not live by law, but to live by grace, to live by your inner spirit, to live seeing that you have everything you need. And that's what Jesus did. And man, did that upset the apple cart. But because to do that, they had to unlearn what they had learned. And that's why they got so upset with Jesus. They were like, hey, listen, who are you to tell us about the law? Who are you to tell us about the temple? Who are you to tell us about what we should or shouldn't be teaching? And they were offended. And so when I come to people and say, you need to abandon the old covenant, let go of it. What I'm saying is you need to unlearn what you've learned about the old covenant. I'm not saying that the old covenant is not worthy for you to look at it, but the truth of the matter is that it doesn't apply to you anymore. There's nothing in the old covenant that applies to you. Now, that doesn't mean the Spirit can't use the Old Testament and benefit you, but it's not so that you'll find out something to do or that you need to try and make happen. It's so that you can see that it was always a waste of time, a waste of your time to try and please God, to try and do something, to try and be something. None of that applies to you. Why? Because in Christ, it's already done. In Christ, you are everything you need to be. Everything you're looking for is in the mirror when you wake up each morning. It's right there, living within you. And see, Jesus came, you know, with a message of change your mind, which is what repentance means. Change your mind about self-effort. Change your mind about trying and doing. Change your mind about Judaism. Change your mind about the law. Change your mind. And that's what got him killed. Okay. But the truth of the matter is if we're going to grow as spiritual people, we must come into the understanding that in Christ, in the new covenant, everything is done. We must come into the understanding that we are everything we're looking for in our union in the divine life. And to the degree that we deconstruct what we believe, or we're willing to deconstruct it and then reconstruct it, is the degree to which we will actually be able to live that out. So what I want to do is in this video, I want to show you some must-knows, if you will, of what it is required in deconstructing and reconstructing successfully. Things that you need to come to grips with. I've already shared a little bit of that, but I want you to see that this is a natural process of your spiritual maturation. It's just a natural process. You don't have to be afraid of it. You don't have to be scared. And what I want you to do is say, Holy Spirit, lead me, guide me, especially into love, especially into the truth. Love and truth. That's all I want. Ask the Spirit to do that, and then you don't need to be afraid of anything. He'll give you all the discernment you need. He'll give you all the direction you need, all the light you need, and all the revelation you need moving forward. Okay? You want to do that? Let's go forward together. I want to start off by asking the question, what is theological deconstruction? What is it? So I'm going to put this up on the screen so you can see it. Theological deconstruction is an approach to religious beliefs that seeks to break down the various interpretations of a given faith tradition to understand how each opinion is constructed. It examines how specific doctrinal statements are understood and used by adherents of the Christian faith, focusing on deconstructing specific ideals about God, the Bible, salvation, and etc. By breaking down these ideals, theological deconstruction allows us to question what these concepts actually mean and how they then apply to our lives. Okay? It also allows us to explore the various implications of these interpretations and why they impact us. So it is an opportunity for you individually to really look at what do these doctrinal statements mean? How do I understand them? And to go into, if you will, some of the specifics of this in more detail. By breaking these things down, we can begin to ask questions about what do these concepts mean? In other words, what do I see them as meaning? What do they mean to me? Not my parents, not my father, not, my cousin, not my brother, not my pastor. What does it mean to me? Because that's what that's a question the Holy Spirit wants to answer with you. Now, the aim of theological deconstruction is to arrive at a more honest appreciation of your faith, okay? Especially in regards to how it interacts with religion. So this is the thing. We want to have a more honest understanding and an appreciation of what it is we believe and how that relates to religion overall, okay? This honesty, I have found, can be liberating as individuals are no longer required to accept the traditional interpretations of their faith without question or negotiation. You become free to look at it and say, well, I think for me, this is what I believe about that. This is the way I see that. Through deconstruction, you and I can arrive at a more honest, fuller understanding of our faith. And the more honest and fuller understanding you have of it, and the more you do this work, the more you then own it. In other words, you feel so much better about what it is you actually do believe and how you practice that and how you live that out. Theological deconstruction does not necessarily invalidate Christianity's interpretation of Scripture or its traditions, necessarily. There are things that Christianity's gotten right overall and things that generally people agree on, although there's very few things that, if you think about Christianity, as we said in the last video, it's broken up into so many denominations and so many different groups, and there's so much that they don't agree on that it's hard to find something that they can all agree on. However, it does encourage us to think more openly about faith. It gives us the opportunity to really look at this honestly and say, what is it that we believe? It takes on a critical role, inviting believers to become more engaged with why we believe what we believe, okay? And just because I was handed down something by my family or by my pastor, by my denomination, doesn't mean that I have to believe that. I can actually look at it and come to a different conclusion, and that's okay. Now, theological deconstruction is not a casual endeavor. I will say this. It requires substantial, thoughtful engagement and effort. Now, I wrote a book entitled Breaking Free from Churchianity. And what I meant by that is breaking free from church, which is, if you will, the institutional setup, okay, of man-made religion. And then churchianity, the anity part is breaking free of the dogma that organization demands we believe. So here's what we want to do. We want to break free from the institutional control that says you have to do this, you have to believe this, you have to see this, we have to be part of us. And the dogma that they demand you believe. Have you ever been to a church and they're like, hey, here's our statements of faith. And if you're going to be part of our church, you need to sign it. Well, I would never again sign that. Matter of fact, I'd encourage anyone watching this never to sign it. Because what if God comes and says, I don't agree with that? Okay. What if in your spirit, you come back and say, wait a minute, I don't really believe that. Then all of a sudden, you've agreed to something that you really don't hold to. And God's more interested above everything in authenticity, in realness, in honesty, in love, love above all, love of yourself and love of your fellow person, the person next to you. That's what God's interested in, not your belief system. Now, this is an ongoing process that asks us to be open to new ideals and interpretations of our faith. Again, are we open to really doing the digging, to looking at this and doing it honestly? Now, I've done a lot of the work for you. If you read the book and watch these videos or go back and watch my shows from my last program, it walks you through most of this stuff, and it'll help you to determine kind of for yourself what it is that you're going to believe. And here's the thing. I don't want you to believe what I believe. I'm not saying this, well, hopefully you'll get on board with me. No. Man, I've done that long enough. I don't want to ever try to get someone on board to believe what I believe. What I want to do is be a guide. I want to be one who encourages. I want to be one who just takes you by the hand and says, listen to the Spirit. Go inward to your spirit, and there find what the Holy Spirit wants for you. okay, through your agency as a human being, as an individual created by God. Now, I have found that this creates more possibilities for the believer, allowing for more understanding and greater light on our faith walk with Christ. By doing this, we're able to see things in a completely different way and to begin to appreciate even the Bible in a different way and to see it from a spiritual viewpoint, to see Jesus from a different viewpoint, to have a different perspective of ourselves, of people, of our faith. It's tremendous. The question is, are we willing to trust the inner spirit and take the step and believe that the spirit will lead us as we go inward, as we look at these things in depth and keep us from error and keep us from getting off the track and realize that we're always in God's hand? I believe we always are. And in so doing, you're free of fear. You're free of anxiety. You're free of worry about whether or not you're going to get led into error. Just trust God. He's going to take care of it as you do this work, as so many others have done. So I want to look now at the benefits of theological deconstruction, because a lot of times people don't always understand why it's important to do this and the benefits of doing it. And there are a lot of benefits, but above everything, we want to look at how this personally is going to benefit you. I can remember being in churches where the pastors encourage us to have a faith that is ours. Have you ever heard that? You need to have a tested faith that is yours. Hopefully, you know, your pastor said that to you. And also at times saying, you know, it needs to be yours and not your parents. I can remember being at youth camp and hearing that. And what this means is we have to come to the point that what we believe is based on our own research, our own study, our own conviction, not because someone told us to believe it. And that's really probably one of the biggest problems the church has had, is that a lot of times people just believe something because someone told them. And we just haven't really done the work, the inner work as well as the outer work, to really come to a faith that we have developed for ourselves. The question is, why do you believe what you believe? A lot of times I ask people, you know, why do you believe that? And they can't really break it down. They can't really tell me, well, this is the work I did to determine that. Most of the time, it's just because somebody told them it. Usually, it's because their pastor told them, or their parents believed it, or they heard it from a youth minister, or they heard it from a preacher on TV, somebody that they consider to be in a position of authority. But again, the question is, why do you believe it? Why do you hold to it? Did you experience it with God? Have you studied this? Or do you hold to this ideology because your religious tribe, your family, or friends do? I will tell you, most of the time, individuals who call themselves believers have not really sat down and done the work to determine what is it that I believe. And I think there's a fear. And a part of the fear is, if I do that and I decide, hey, I don't really believe what they believe, what does that mean for me being a part of this denomination? What does it mean to be in this church? What does it mean in regards to my friends, to my small group? What are they going to say? What are they going to think? But if you're going to mature spiritually, if you're really going to grow into a fully functioning spiritual person, not a religious one, not one who's caught up in churchianity, a person who really lives from the inside out. And this is why we're talking about this now, because we really cannot go to talking about living inside out, living from within, so that you can manifest outwardly. We have to start here, because this will be a stumbling block to us if we don't deal with it now. And it's really important to try to determine, listen, what is it that I believe? Am I willing to be open-minded, to listen to things I haven't listened to before, to try and understand what, you know, things that you've never been taught before, what they mean and how they impact your faith? Because a lot of what we're going to talk about in this program are going to be things you've never heard before, I promise you. And so these are things I have never taught. I've learned them over time. God's taught them to me, but I've never personally taught them. So if we can't become at least open-minded enough to listen, then we're not going to really listen to the Holy Spirit. And so it's really important that we not tell God, hey, I'll only believe this. I'll only read the Bible. I'll only listen to these people. Because then what you're doing is you're basically keeping yourself from receiving something that God wants to give you, something new, something different, something that you is true, but you just don't see it at the moment. It's important for us to get outside of the tribe, outside of our denomination, outside of our little circle, so that we can listen and have our mind expanded and begin to determine what is it we believe for ourselves. Theological deconstruction is essential because you will struggle to move beyond a focus on the material world made of matter and mass, that which you can touch and see and feel, without doing this work. You'll live based on what is temporal versus what is eternal. And I think this is probably the most characteristic of Christians today. Most Christians live focused outwardly on physical things that are temporal versus inward to spiritual things, which are actually eternal. Temporal things, again, this is the things you can see, hold, and touch. The things that we see and deal with every day. Those are the temporal things. They are material in nature and therefore temporary. It is the unseen world of spirit that is unending. And that's where we want to look. The Apostle Paul said this, I'll put it up on the screen. We don't look for things that can be seen, but for things that can't be seen. Things that can be seen are only temporary, but things that can be seen last forever. So 2,000 years ago, the Apostle Paul knew this and said, listen, you have to go inward. You have to go to the things that are true of you in spirit. You are one with the Lord, one spirit with Christ, one spirit with him in the divine life. And it is that that is most true of us, and it is eternal in the unseen. By being more open, we become more teachable and can grow in our awareness. In other words, we begin to see things that we had not seen in the past. We begin to have a higher level, if you will, of consciousness. We become conscious of things, what I think of as Christ consciousness, of things that are so much more greater than we could possibly imagine. And it is an absolute necessity that we begin to live with an open mind. Now, being open-minded means we're going to receive greater revelation, greater light from God in the Spirit, then how to apply that light with this higher Christ consciousness, and then living that out each moment in spirit. I think the biggest point here is that when we come to know that God loves us, and I think that's the biggest benefit of becoming more open-minded, is you begin to see that God loves you so much, that God who loves you can be trusted. He can be trusted. We trust he will lead us then into all truth by his Spirit, which is one with us. Then we are empowered to operate as spiritual people and discern matters through spiritual means. And this is really where it all starts. It starts with love. When you know your love, there's no fear. Fear really ultimately is what shuts down our minds. We're afraid rather than realizing we're loved. We're loved, and that's what matters. What matters isn't that I'm right or that I've got my act together in regards to the Bible or my theology or anything else. What matters is that I am loved just for who I am. I'm loved, and I can trust this God who loves me. Now, another reason for having an open mind is that theology and doctrine are fluid. They're very fluid, they're vibrant, and they're changing. Not because God changes, but because we become more aware. As you grow in your spiritual walk, you begin to see things you didn't see. You begin to know things you didn't know. But they've always been true. The problem was we were closed-minded. We didn't see it. We were not able to see it. It is like a mist that slowly lifts, and we can see a little further than we could earlier. The Spirit is the one who raises that mist. But fear of change, of being deceived, of being rejected by a religious group keeps us in the mist. Growing spiritually requires me to allow my fears to fall to the one who loves me unconditionally. Let your fears fall into the hands of the one who loves you just as you are, unconditionally. And you will find your world beginning to open up in ways you've never seen. When I began to experience his unconditional love for me, I no longer feared being deceived, led astray, changing, or even being rejected by family, friends, and those at church. To grow spiritually is to grow out of one thing and into something more significant once we know it. It's important to realize that that's the biggest thing about growing spiritually, is I leave one thing, like Paul did, and God brings me into something more significant that has always been, but I couldn't see it. And this is the spiritually mature life. Now I want to look at the necessity of theological reconstruction. We've looked at why it's important to deconstruct. But once you've deconstructed something, you need to reconstruct it. You need to build it back. Once a house or building has been torn down, the area is clear to prepare for a new structure. You ever seen that? They implode a building and it comes down, and then they'll spend a long time clearing out the debris. And that's as important as imploding the building. The debris's got to be cleared out. Sometimes the old foundation can be used again, but other times it must be removed as well. And it really gets to the point where all you have is dirt. Reconstruction requires preparing the lot to build the new structure. Okay, you have to prepare the lot so that you can build on it again. The same is true for reconstructing our theology. After we have spent some time deconstructing it, you may spend an extended period of time deconstructing your theology, and that's okay. Spend the amount of time that you need to spend. I'm still doing it. I personally like to look at this as an ongoing process. I continue to deconstruct what I believe. I mean, there's not a day that goes by that I don't question something. And I just think that that's part of the journey. I think that's part of, you know, maturing spiritually and being a part of living from your spirit. People who tell me, well, I believe the same thing I've always believed. I believe the same thing I did in the 1980s. Well, you know, I get what you're saying, but I will tell you, you've missed out on a lot. You really have. You've missed out on so much. You see, when you don't see what you've missed out on, you think you haven't missed it. But the reality is that there's so much out there that you can't see and enjoy. Don't you want to enjoy it, embrace it, live in it, rather than just sticking into something because it's comfortable, staying with it because it, you know, it fits where you're at the moment. You just, doesn't really challenge you, doesn't really do anything for your growth. That's, to me, where most believers are at. The majority of believers, they're never going to do this work because that's not what they care about. What they care about is their convenience, their enjoyment, their comfort. They want to stay in a zone that they're comfortable with, and that's where they live. But that's not what we were called to. What we're called to is something higher, something more, a greater perspective, something that we've never seen before. I remember going up to Pikes Peak a couple of years ago on a summer vacation, and man, it was so beautiful up there, and I really love that area. I've been there many times. But when you go up there, it takes a little while to get up there if you take the train and or if you drive, either way. But it's amazing because you get a different perspective. You can get up there, you can see everything up there. I mean, there's nothing blocking your view. And then all of a sudden, you see how majestic these mountains are, how far away some of these things are. You can see into valleys that you didn't even know were there. You can see other mountaintops that you didn't know were there. You get, and then you can look down into the valleys where you came from, and they seem so small and insignificant, but they're not. All of it's important. It's just that your perspective has changed. It's all important, no matter what it is. And this is true then for reconstruction. What God's done is he's torn it, helped us tear it down, so now we can rebuild it. Well, we do so from a new perspective, a greater perspective. We do so from the leading of the Spirit who lives within us. Now, an example of this is seen in the life of the Apostle Paul. I think his experience in his conversion is probably one of the best examples of what I'm trying to say today. Paul did this by leaving Damascus and going to Arabia, which would have been a four-week walk on foot. Unfortunately, I don't think this verse is well understood among the evangelicals. So let's take a look at it. I'm going to put it up there on the screen and read it to you. And this is what it says. For you have heard of my former way of life in Judaism, how I was savagely persecuting the church of God and trying to destroy it. I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries in my nation and was extremely zealous for the traditions of my ancestors. But when the one who set me apart from birth and called me by his grace was pleased to reveal his son in me so that I could preach him among the Gentiles, or if you will, in the Gentiles, I did not go to ask advice from any human being. Nor did I go up to Jerusalem to see those who were apostles before me. But right away, I departed to Arabia and then returned to Damascus. Then, after 3 years, I went to Jerusalem to visit Cephas and get information from him. And I stayed with him 15 days. But I saw none of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. Now, this is from Galatians 1, 13 through 19. So God set Paul apart for a particular purpose, called him to that purpose, and revealed that Christ lived within him, not just outside him or through temple rituals. Here's the thing. Paul did not have Christ in him because of a prayer he prayed, a commitment he made, or sincerely repenting of his sins. That is where Christ always was. And Paul was always in Christ, as all things are in Christ. And this life that lived in Paul, this life of Christ in the person of Jesus Christ, was the truth about him. Okay, that's the truth about you and me as well. All of this was God's doing. None of it was Paul's. And that's really a hard, hard thing for someone who's a legalist. And Paul was a hardcore legalist, man. He believed in the law. He was a zealot for the law. And he was a hardcore legalist, which is what most evangelicals are. They call it grace, but they're actually zealots for the law because they're all caught up in, you know, do this, do that, don't do that, God's judgment and things of that nature. So when Paul received this revelation, it destroyed the foundation of everything he stood on regarding the old covenant and the law. When he began to see everything was in Christ and that Christ was the fulfillment of the new covenant and that he was actually working on the wrong wall, that he was believing something that was no longer applicable to Israel or to anybody, it devastated his world, and this required a complete deconstruction of what he believed. Paul did something that, to me, is very spiritual. He did not seek the advice of those in Damascus or go back to Jerusalem to talk to the Jewish religious leaders or the apostles, okay? He didn't go seek the advice of men. Why? Christ lived in him by spirit. He did not need their counsel. Paul was one with God in Christ, and all he needed was within him by that spirit. God revealed to him what already existed, Christ in him, the source of everything, Christ in him. So he went to Arabia for some time. Again, we don't know how long. I suspect it was a couple of years. And there he did the hard work of deconstruction and then beginning to reconstruct his faith. Deconstruction and reconstruction can take some time. It is the work of the Spirit to reveal what is needed and when. You and I cannot handle everything at once, and it is better to be given something according to our ability to receive and process it. To do this, Paul needed to escape from everyone and everything that had anything to do with Judaism or Christianity. He had to be quiet and let the Holy Spirit do the inner work in his time and in his way. I had to do that myself. I had to get away from church. Matter of fact, I'm not a part of a church right now. I'm still not. Because when you go and connect yourself to a group, you're going to tend to take on the mindset of the group. No matter what it is they believe or their vibe, you're going to take on that vibe and you're going to take on that belief system. And I want to encourage you, when you go through your deconstruction and your reconstruction of your faith, there's nothing wrong with getting away. There's nothing wrong with just sitting before God, with just meditating, contemplating, and saying, God, what are you saying? Because when you go every week to listen to a pastor and you go every week and those people are talking about something, you're going to take on their beliefs and you won't even realize it. I had a person who I had worked with, and she had done a tremendous amount of deconstruction, but in her final year of life, she was really struggling physically. And she ended up being befriended by a church that was very fundamentalist. And she said, you know, Scott, I'm just going there because my son goes there and I just need someplace to fellowship. But what I found was that just over that last year of her life, she started to become judgmental of some people and started things that were just sort of foreign to her. She was not that way. And so I didn't say anything because, one, I was just trying to minister to her in the sickness. And she did pass away. But it was more than anything, it was a warning to me. It was also sort of God's way of saying, listen, you go to a church somewhere, just understand that whatever it is they think and how they think and how they go about their business, you're going to adopt that. So just keep that in mind. For me, I found it, just like Paul did, better to get away completely. And man, it has been such a blessing to do that. It has helped me more than you can imagine. And if you haven't done that, think about it, pray about it. I'm not saying that for you that that's the best thing. It may not be. You have to determine that, not me. But I can tell you that for Paul, that had a tremendous impact on his life. And I've done that thing as well, and it's had an incredible impact on me as well. When you think about all the doing you do with church and the organized church, there's no, you know, when you're able to get away and just begin to contemplate and meditate, there's no crusades, no witnessing, no appeals for money, no starting new churches, no results of any kind. That's the big thing. No looking for results. Just listening to Spirit who lives within you. Just listening to Him. And that's what Paul did. He was just listening to the Spirit who lived within him and was one with him. Listening with spiritual knowing and intuition to the voice of the inner Spirit. And to me, ultimately, that's what it means to be a spiritual person. So reconstruction comes as we learn to be quiet, stop struggling and striving or working and doing, and to be still and to listen. In my theological deconstruction and reconstruction, I realized that I needed to escape everything that held me to the past, from everyone and everything in institutional organized Christianity. To be quiet, listen to the Spirit, and do nothing of value materially but of immense value spiritually. Just as the Apostle Paul did, that's what I did. Just listen without striving or judging. That's the biggest thing too, man. Don't strive with anything or anyone. Don't judge anything or anyone. Just be in the moment. Come into the moment. That's so important. Instead, I enjoyed each moment as it came to me. Well, I began to understand that each moment was precious and I really needed to enjoy the moment. There's no agenda, no work, just the presence of Christ in me, and me in Christ. True reality. Living as one with the divine life. This did more for my spiritual growth, spiritual awareness, and living from within than anything else. And it continues to today. I have to say, I have had less fear, less anxiety, more peace, more being at ease with myself and others than I've ever experienced in my entire life. It is absolutely amazing.